بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Continuing what we have been talking about, we stopped by talking about the case of Iman, and we explained the definition of Iman, and we said that Iman must consist of the three major cases, which is believing, يعني which is creeds, statements and actions. And all of them are containing, or Iman is containing all of them in three, and we have the evidence by the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is in Bukhari and Muslim, with a different on words. الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة. And Bukhari said بضع وستون شعبة. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إمامة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. We said in this hadith, the Iman is so many parts, 73 or 63 parts. The highest of it is to say La ilaha illallah, to say, يعني by tongue. And the lowest of it is to move the dirt from the road of the people. That's action. Okay? والحياء بضعة من الإيمان، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. الحياء means to be shy from doing bad things. Shying is by what? By heart. So that is the creed. Creed, statements and actions. So Iman is containing all of these three. And then we said that this rank, which is Iman, because Deen is three ranks: Islam, Iman and Ihsan. This rank, which is Iman, is or has six pillars: believing in Allah, His angels, His books and His messengers, and in the Judgment Day, and Al-Qadr. These six pillars of Iman, we'll talk about them inshallah in details later on inshallah. Let's read the evidence.
The evidence for the six pillars of belief is the saying of Allah, which means it is not al-birr, piety, righteousness and every act of obedience to Allah, that you turn your faces towards east and or west in prayer. But al-birr is the quality of the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books and the prophets. Al-Baqarah 177.
Yes.
The evidence for the divine decree is the saying of Allah, which means verily we have created all things with qadr, divine preordainment of all things before their creation as written in the preserved template. Al-Qamar 49.
As you said just a few minutes ago, we need really to talk about the case of pillars of Iman in detail. And as we said in level 2 in Rabwa course, it takes 15 days to complete talking about the pillars of Iman. But we cannot take all this time. We have to take as much as we can to explain the case of Iman pillars as much, yani, as short as we can. Although we have to have some kind of details on some cases, which is very important for a Muslim to understand. The first pillar of Iman was to believe in Allah. And that's of course natural. But unfortunately, although it's so simple and easy, some Muslims, they misunderstand the case of believing in Allah. They think believing in Allah is just to believe in His existence. Allah is there, khalas, so he's a mu'min. No. And we gave an example that the Quraysh's people, they believe in Allah's existence. And also they believe in Allah rububiyyah also, which is lordship. But still they are not mu'mins, they are not even Muslims. Also we give the example of Gagarin, the astronomer. Okay? That Russian guy who went to the space and he saw all this darkness and he said, oh, he was a communist of course. But when he saw all of this darkness and these stars, he said, oh, it cannot be like this. There has to be somebody who created them and managed them. Ah, so some people say, oh, he believed. No, he did not believe. He has only small piece of believing, but he did not believe truly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to say believing in Allah must consist four cases. What are they? First case is to believe in His existence subhanahu wa ta'ala. His existence, that Allah is there. Of course every Muslim believes that. And have no trouble in that. So we don't need to go in detail to say we can prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the human mind, by the human sense, by the legislation of Islam, and so on. We don't need to talk about that because this is inshallah will come to us in level 2 in Rabwa later on inshallah. But even though in the same time, yani, it will take us so long time, we cannot really afford it. But this is only one case, which is to believe in the existence of Allah ta'ala. The second case is to believe in his rububiyyah. Yani, no one can be a believer of Allah, which is the first pillar of iman, unless he believes in these four cases. Believing in Allah's existence, Allah rububiyyah, which is lordship, Allah worship, which is uluhiyyah, Allah names and qualities. So these are four cases. The case of rububiyyah, quickly, although we have talked about that before, that rububiyyah means to believe that Allah is the creator and sustainer of everything. Allah is the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing rizq, all these things. Yani, to believe in Allah in his deeds. What are his deeds? Creation. Maintaining, giving rizq, providing rizq, and so on. So every deed of Allah is the side of rububiyyah. So if we say someone is falling into shirk in the rububiyyah side, give us an example. We say those Shia or Rafidah, they say that Ali ibn Abi Talib and his descending sons, they believe, they know the ghayb, the unseen world. So they are falling into shirk in rububiyyah side because they are giving some of Allah deeds or qualities to Ali ibn Abi Talib and his sons. Although Allah clearly told us in his holy book, Quran, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So no one knows the ghayb except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah may give some of the unseen world or the future knowledge to his some of his messengers, yes. But that is very limited actually. And also, especially for us, after the messengers, we nobody knows. يعني, no one can come and say, oh, tomorrow will happen this. If he says so, he is a kafir. Because he contradicted the Quran. And if someone believes that, he is also a kafir. Because he contradicted the Quran again. That's why we say, later on as we say, talk about magic, that a person who believes the magician or a predictor, he is a kafir. Upon the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فسأله فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. خلاص, he's a kafir, out of Islam. Why? Because he contradicted with the Quran. Allah clearly told us in that ayah that no one knows the ghayb and seen words except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person says no, he knows the ghayb. And that the other person believes that he knows the ghayb, both of them are out of Islam. So again, to say that to believe in Allah, we have to believe in his existence, we have to believe in his lordship, rububiyyah, we have to believe also in his worship, which is uluhiyyah. What does that mean? To believe or to worship Allah, to believe the oneness of Allah in our deeds. Our deeds. Like what? Ibadah, dua, whatever. Whatever we are doing, ibadah, it should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making dua, making tawaf, making whatever, sadaqah, everything should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone comes and breaks this, which is a lot now, unfortunately, among Muslims, he is breaking his belief in Allah worship, the oneness of Allah in the case of worship. If he goes and thinks that such and such grave or Khalandar Baba deserves to be given qurban, deserves to be asked this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can see some Muslims who go to these graves and ask them to heal their or for cureness or for children or for this, they are asking them. So this is called shirk or polytheism. So this person is breaking his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the side of worship, which is uluhiyyah. He's breaking la ilaha illallah actually, because la ilaha illallah means, as we said, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said, why Muslims are doing this? Not because they don't believe that Allah is the only one deserves to be worshipped, but because they don't know what the true meaning of worshipping. And if they knew truly what's the meaning of worshipping, they will not give any part of this worshipping to others. They think going to this grave is worshipping Allah. Or they say that calling this grave is not a worshipping. We are only loving these people. And we tell them, no, you are not allowed to say, oh, you do not like the awliya, the good people, the pious person. No. The case is that every worshipping, every dua, every sadaqah should be only for Allah Ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا Nobody. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني we cannot go to such and such grave or such and such tree or whatever it is and ask them to give us things that only Allah can do. We cannot go to the Ajmir as an example and ask him for cureness or ask him for barakah or ask him to be intermediate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Yes, Muslims may not go to Ajmir and ask him for forgiveness because they know Ajmir cannot forgive them. But they may usually do what? They go to the grave and ask him to be intermediate to Allah for forgiveness. What they do to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they go to his grave and they say, Ya Rasulullah, do this, ask Allah for this. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. He's dead. So we are not supposed to ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not other ones who are less than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and anything, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. So, as we said, most Muslims, they have a trouble in the case of ibadah, or worshipping the meaning of it, and they have trouble in the case of believing in Allah, or the oneness of Allah and His uluhiyyah, worship. The fourth part of this is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualities, names and qualities. So four now, existence, number one, Lordship, worship, names and qualities. The one who believes the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all of this, then he is the believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the case that Muslim should believe that Allah is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is existing. Khalas, he is a mu'min. No, that's not true. He must believe in all of these three. No, four, sorry. All of these four things, so he will be counted as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the first pillar of Iman. We have And we don't want to go in details on this because it will take us so long, so we need to stop in here. The second pillar of Iman is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels. Angels, we know, that, as Allah told us in the Holy Quran, they are created from light. Created from light. And these angels actually, another life creatures. But they differ. They differ how? They do not eat, they do not sleep, they do not... Allah created them in different ways that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without stopping. يسبحون الله in the ayah يسبحون الله الليل والنهار لا يفترون So these angels are continuously making tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These angels, they have their own duties to be done, as we will see, inshallah. So these angels, first of all, are created from light, as Allah told us in the Holy Quran, Muhammad told us also in the Sunnah, and they have a certain goal they are supposed to do. But remember that these angels are only an evidence to Allah, the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we know how many are these angels, if we know how large these angels, if we know how strong worshippers are these angels, we will know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created them. If you know the greatness of the created thing, you will know the greatness of the one who created them. If you see the computer, you will see, well, the one who made this computer is a very smart guy. Right? If you see all of these creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really the greatest. Right? Let's take a look at these angels. How many are these angels? Nobody can count them. But we have some evidences to tell us how much they are, or at least how many of them are available. One of the hadith we know, we have also passed by, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while Mi'raj, he saw Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur is exactly on top of Kaaba. but in the sky. And Jibreel alayhi salam told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that 70,000 angels get into Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur every day, and they leave it and never come back to it. Now imagine 70,000 angels daily and never come back to that Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur every day. How many are these angels? Allahu Akbar. Cannot be counted. طيب, another hadith. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that sky is made a sound because of the heaviness on top of it. Why? Because every four fingers area of that sky is loaded with an angel putting his forehead for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sujood. Subhanallah al-Azim. Also, we know that every one of us has two angels with him always to count and write and so on. If we say, as an example, human beings nowadays are 6 billion, right? Now how many angels? 12 billion. That's only those hafaza, katibin, kiraman katibin. That's all. What about the others? Allah knows. Sahih. That's the number or the count. Let's talk about the size of this angel. We know Jibreel alayhi salam, Muhammad has told us about him that when he came with wahi, Muhammad has saw him closing the horizon with 600 wings. With one wing of these wings, he carried four towns of Lut people upside down with one wing only, while he has 600 wings. That's Jibreel alayhi salam. What about the others? Allahu alam. So when we know the greatness of the creatures, we know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created them. Part of this case also, or comes with this case, the case of believing in jinn. Jinn is connected with angels because they are, cannot be seen to us, by us, cannot be seen by us human beings. And they are another nation also. They are another creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of these jinn was with angels. Who was he? Iblis. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he was jinn. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upgrade him to be with angels, to worship Allah, because he was a good worshipper. Good jinni worshipper. But later on, أعوذ بالله, he overestimated himself and he refused the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bow to Adam alayhi salam. Jinn is there. Some people do not like to talk about jinn. Maybe they are afraid. But that's true. Jinn is there. And they are, maybe they, some of them are with us now. And they are also around. They live with human beings. They live usually in the dark areas. They live. And these jinn also, some of them are kafirs and some of them are Muslims. Some of them came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some valley to listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they accepted Islam. As Allah told us in the Holy Quran, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. So they heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Holy Quran. They accepted Islam. They went to their people to call them for Islam. And there is a complete surah in the Quran also called Surah al-Jinn. So a jinn is there. Some people say, no, there is no jinn. Why there is no jinn? He is pretty, I cannot see them. I cannot touch them, I cannot taste them, I cannot hear them. يعني using their sins, but we know that these sins are not enough to know everything. And we gave the joke before, remember, there was a what do you call him, atheist teacher who came to children in a class and said, never believe in anything you cannot see, touch, taste, hear, smell. So they said, okay. Said, so Allah is not there. There's no Allah. A'udhu billah. So one child said, why? We know that Allah is there. He said, can you taste him? Can you see him? Can you hear him? Can you smell him? Can you touch him? He said, no. He said, then he is not there. Another good child, smart guy, he said, excuse me, teacher. You have no mind. He said, what? He said, you have no mind. How dare you say this? He said, I cannot see it. I cannot smell it. I cannot touch it. I cannot hear it. I cannot... You have no mind. So these five senses of human beings is not enough. Now we discovered later on that there is what you call it some beam, some light we cannot see. Was that under red? Whatever you call it, I don't know the name. But that light cannot be seen by human beings. There are some sounds we cannot hear also. It's there, it's available, it's in our life, but we cannot hear it. So there are some things we cannot see. So then we say that there are angels, although we cannot see them or touch them or smell them, there are also jinn. طيب. Believing in jinn is a must, of course, with the case of the angels. And we have to say also, believing in a jinn could lead us to the case to know how, what's the effect of knowing the jinn. We know that jinn could affect a human being and could enter into the human being's body. And that happened in the time of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And also Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned this in His Holy Quran about the people who take riba. As Allah told us, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ. الشيطان here is a jinn shaitan. As we know, jinn is shaitan is two types. Jinn, shaitan of human beings, a shaitan of jinn. And sometimes shaitan of human beings is worse than shaitan of jinn. Because shaitan of jinn, you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he runs away. You recite Surah قُلْ عَذْ رَبِّ الْفَلَقُ وَذْ رَبِّنَاتِ, he runs away. But human beings, shaitan does not go away. Even if you recite this, أعوذ بالله. Because they are so sticky.
What would be the reason how to get that off?
Stick to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will... But be strong with these people. When they come to you, that's a good point in here, we have to remember that. A Muslim, really, a true Muslim, should always be stronger than the kafir. Yes, they are supposed to be. And if some kafir or pastor come to you or start to talk to you about the wrong thing, don't be defensive. No, just jump on him. Tell him, you are made a mistake. Come here, I'll show you the right way. You are on the wrong way. You are in trouble. If you die, you will be in hellfire. A'udhu billah. Come back. Don't let him call you. You jump on him and call him. You have right. You have the Islam. You have the strongest. You are the strongest because you have Islam. You have Quran. Some Muslims, unfortunately, when he comes to talk to people, he gets defensive. Oh, ma'alish, No, why ma'alish? Why? You tell him, ta'al, you are in trouble. That's what we say when we talk. The way of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he comes to call people for Islam, kafirs in that time, then he come and starts to be nice with them, with diplomacy or etiquette or protocol. No. He came to them clearly, you are kafirs, you will be in hellfire. If you are like this. That was so strong way that they really discovered that, oh yes, we are, so they accepted Islam. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Where is the diplomacy in here? Where is the nice words in here? Do you think al-kafirun is a nice word? To this kafir, no. But it's, you have some, a doctor, when he make a surgery, when he come, he needs to have a surgery. He must have a surgery, otherwise he'll die. No, I can't touch the guy, I cannot cut him. What do you think of this doctor? Crazy, he's not a doctor. Because he's afraid of cutting, he doesn't want to hurt the guy by cutting his skin to take out this. Habibi, you have to do it. You have to bleed the guy. You have to cut his stomach. You have to suck the guy. Why? Because this is good for him. Same thing for this kafir. You have to be so clear with him to show him that you are kafir, you have to come to Islam. If you die, you will be settled in hellfire. Come to Islam. Now, this is the case of, this shaitan of human being must be punished with strong words. So he will run away. Fine. Back to the case of jinn. Jinn really hurts human being. Usually those ones who are not having the weapon to defend themselves. Those ones who do not recite Quran, do not recite Ayat al-Kursi, do not recite the قل هو الله واحد, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل أعوذ برب الناس, three times in the morning, three times in the evening. Those people have this weapon, this defense, the shaitan, jinn shaitan cannot touch it. Otherwise they will be easy to be. That's why most of those people who are getting jinn into them are the ones who are bad Muslims or kafirs. Good Muslims cannot be. And I gave an example long time ago, but no problem to repeat that example. There was here in Riyadh, there was a bad man, and he uses drugs. But in front of people, he was a hypocrite. He was showing that he's a good Muslim and this. He went and he asked some family to marry their daughter. That family was a good family, with mashallah reciting Quran and dua, and dhikr. So they thought this guy is very good, so they gave him their daughter for marriage. That lady or that daughter discovered that the guy is a bad person and he's a drug addict, and so she ran away to her house, her father's house, and said, I don't want this guy, he's this and this. The guy came and said, give me my wife, and he rejected him and said, go away, khalas, you are no good guy. So what he did, he went to a magician. He said, take 5,000 riyals, bring me back my wife. He said, fine, just bring me any used clothes of her. So he brought him some used clothes to the magician. The magician started to call his jinn helpers, shaitani jinn. And he said, bring me this lady. These jinn helpers went to the house of that lady to bring her. They couldn't enter. They couldn't. Why? Because Quran is there. This family was a Quran family. They were reciting Holy Quran. They were reciting the dua. So that jinn, shaitani jinn cannot, the shaitani devils cannot get into that house. Once, twice, three times they couldn't. So the man came back to ask the magician, what did you do? He said, I cannot take your money. Babe, put in mind, how is this? What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this family because they have done what he has told them to do.
Somebody said in that circumstances, somebody gets attacked with the jinn, and then they live the life like that and they die. What is the existing of that particular person if he lives in that condition and dies? Because he is not under his control. But maybe he is dead.
Leave this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will take care of him. Allah will يعني, judge him in the judgment day. But what we need to know is that how to protect ourselves in this life. Even though after jinn gets into the body, still there is the recitation of Holy Quran by someone, good person like you, on him, will take the jinn out. There was also a small story to prove that jinn can get into human being easily, although some Muslims, some scholars say they cannot too. But we are saying yes, there is. This is a reality story, happened with Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. There was a lady in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, and here, she never traveled anywhere else except to Mecca and come back, that's all. She was an old lady from the old generation. All of a sudden, that lady started to speak Urdu. That lady never went out of Riyadh except to Mecca and come back. And she started to say bad words. So they were amazed. They brought the driver of the family to ask him, he was an Indian. And she was talking to him fluently in Urdu and bad words. So the people were amazed. So they took her to some sheikh and he started to recite Quran on her, and that jinni started to talk. He was a jinni, a Yahudi jinni, a Jew jinni. Yani, can we say that there are Christian jinn? Yes, there is, there are. I have talked to some jinn on a lady. And he was speaking by her tongue, but with a man voice. And I asked him, why you do this? He said, well, I like the lady. And she was not, of course, saying the dua or the ayat to defend herself. However, that lady, which came to Sheikh bin Baz, later on they brought her, after the jinni, by the way, with the sheikh recitation and discussion, he accepted Islam. The jinni accepted Islam. And he said, I will leave the lady if you take me to Sheikh bin Baz. So they took the lady to Sheikh bin Baz, and the jinni talked to Sheikh bin Baz by her tongue to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and he left the lady. And after he left the lady, she like woke up. She was like sleeping, you know. She doesn't say. However, this is a reality proof, although we have in Holy Quran clearly that Allah told us that these people who are taking riba, they are like people who have been smashed by the jinn. And Muhammad has done also this through some of his hadith when lady brought him her child who were always crying. So Muhammad Sallam talked to her in his ear to the jinn to leave. So the jinn left and the baby slipped. So many stories. However, not every wrong movement of a person and wrong talking is always by jinn. It could be also by a physical sickness. That's also possible. So don't just directly say, okay, this guy has a jinn, bring him and start to talk to him and hit him, you know. Could be a physical. We have to take him to the doctor first to make sure that is, you know. Well, that's why sometimes people take their people, their yani, patients to a doctor and say, Matish, he's okay. All physical checks. Okay, the guy is okay. Why the guy is not okay? So then we will discover that this guy having a jinn or he's having an eye or so on, which is the psychological sickness. Right. That's the case of angels and jinn. The case of books, which is the third pillar of iman. And after believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after believing on angels and jinn, we need to believe also on the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has descended so many books. Every messenger and every prophet has a book, and some of them we know, most of them we don't. Allah told us that about five of them at least: Al-Quran, Al-Zabur, Al-Injil, Al-Tawrah, Suhuf Musa, Suhuf Ibrahim, sorry. Somebody say Suhuf Musa also another one, but Suhuf Musa and Tawrah are almost the same. So what about the rest? We didn't know. Nuh alayhi salam, what was his book? Nobody knows. So our duty is to believe what's mentioned to us of these books, which is these five, and to believe there are some other books Allah did not tell us and He does not want us to know. We believe in them in general. We believe in them in general. But for us as Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must believe in Quran and work and practice what is in it exactly. What was the Torah and Injil and other books? They have been changed. Upon what Allah told us in the Holy Quran, it has been changed. Torah has been changed, Injil has been changed, and every other book has been changed except Quran. While Quran especially was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He did not leave this for this duty for the people, because this is the last book has been descended. And it's not only the last one, but also for everybody. Yani Isa alayhi salam was sent to Israelis. Musa was for Israelis. Ibrahim for his people only in Iraq. And Nuh alayhi salam was for his people in that time. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for everybody. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to everybody in his time and after. So his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must believe in Quran. And we also believe, as Allah tells in the Holy Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that Quran will not be changed. Cannot be changed at all. Some people tried, but nobody can. Nobody could. Nobody could really change the Holy Quran, not even a single letter of it. Shia have tried. They have some stupid lies, unfortunately, to say that they have a different Mus'haf, which is three times of our Mus'haf, but has not even a single letter of our Mus'haf. Alhamdulillah, this is not our book. We have our book, Quran is there. Some people say, hey, what about this? We can't see Shia reciting Holy Quran. If they don't believe in it, how they recite? That's called Tuqiyah, and they are doing this to show people that they are Muslims while they do not believe in it. Also Shia, they are not the same. They have different beliefs. Some of them, they may not accept Quran as their book. So, the fourth pillar of Iman is to believe in the messengers, Allah's messengers, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent so many messengers. Some scholars told us that the messengers known are 313 messengers. 313 messengers, and the prophets are more than 120,000. Prophet and messenger, what's the difference? Prophet is a not a messenger. He has been given some book, but he is not told to convey it. A messenger is the one who conveys, while the prophet is the one who is continuing, like Harun with Musa. Harun alayhi salam was not a messenger, he was a prophet, although he was sent with Musa, but he was only helping Musa and following Musa's Sharia. So Harun alayhi salam did not have extra book. He had only also Torah with Musa alayhi salam. So many of Bani Israel were only prophets. Yusha bin Nun after Musa alayhi salam also was a prophet, and so on. So messengers are lots less than prophets, as we know. So believing in them all, we believe of them in two ways. To believe in every one name have been told to us, like what? Musa, Isa, Nuh, Ibrahim, and so on, we believe in them. Those one we do not know, we believe in them in general. So we are not required to dig and find out all the names of the prophets and messengers. No, we are not required. What Allah told us in the Holy Quran, we take it, we accept it. What Muhammad told us in his hadith, we accept it, and that's it. We believe. But we believe there are a lot of messengers and prophets that are not mentioned on the Quran or Sunnah. We believe in them as Allah told us in his holy book in general. The fifth pillar of Iman is one of the major cases to discuss. The case of the judgment day, or the last day. Called last day because there is no other day after. It is the last day. Is it one day? It is long. But how many? Nobody knows. Judgment day, continuing until people go to Jannah and Nar, or Hellfire, and they live forever. But that contains a lot of things Muslims really must believe. Like what? First of all, he must believe on the grave life. Unfortunately, some Muslims, they say they do not believe that there is a grave life. They say a person who dies, he is dead until he wake up on the judgment day, so he will be living again on the judgment day. That's actually, unfortunately, contradicting the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told us that a person, as soon as he is put on his grave and he is buried, he hears the footsteps of his people leaving him alone, although he has different rights, as we said at the beginning, before. A human being has three rights: this dunya life, our life now, the grave life, barzakh, the judgment day, and Jannah Nar life. Each life differs totally from the other. Our life now differs than our life in grave, differs than our life in the judgment day. As an example, our life in here, body and soul are the same, yani the same level. In the grave, the soul will be stronger than the body. So Naeem or Azab will be on the soul more than the body. More, but still they can't touch. That's why if you dig in the grave, you cannot find, usually, except some bones. Where is nice area, where is Azab in that grave? Nobody can see it. That some people say there's no grave punishment or... Why? Because they didn't see it. Sayyidi Habibi, remember that our life differs than that life. Differs totally. But we have a very strong dalil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is good life in the grave or bad life. As Allah tells in the Holy Quran, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيَّ وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. So this is before يَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ. Their azab in here, آل فرعون, people of Fir'aun are facing the punishment in the grave before the judgment day. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ. So قيام الساعة here means everybody dies and wake up again. Now, before the judgment day, before Sa'ah, Ali Fir'aun are facing the punishment in their graves. Also, hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is mentioned by, or narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu arda, when he told us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the graveyard of Medina al-Baqi' to bury one of the Sahaba who died. When he reached the grave with the dead person or the Sahabi, the grave was not ready, so he waited for the people, for his Sahaba to dig the grave completely. So he told his Sahaba that every person when he dies, before he dies, when he is leaving the life, the angels will come to him. The good Muslim, the good angels, good faces will come to him and will take his soul easily from his body, like you are putting the water out of a cup. So easy. Vice versa, the munafiq or kafir or fasiq of Muslims, his soul will run away in his body, the angels drag it strongly, so he is feeling so bad when he is dying. Again, when he comes to his grave, he will hear their steps of footsteps, then the angels, two angels will come to him to ask him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Islam, about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if he answers correctly, then he will be, his grave will be opened, widened and green, and the vice versa of the kafir or fasiq or munafiq, his grave will be stuck on his body. Can we see this by ourselves? No. Very, very limited cases happened. Maybe in time Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and some other times, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed by the two graves, he said they are in punishment, and he brought two green sticks and he put each one in each grave. He said that may make their punishment less. Can we do this? No, we cannot do this. We're not supposed to do this. Some Muslims say, okay, I'll go to every grave, I know that he's a bad person, I'll bring two green sticks and put. No, this is only for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Muhammad, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali and the other Sahaba did not do it. That part of the last day is the grave. Part of the last day also is the hisab, judging the person. So many hadiths and so many ayahs talking about the hisab, and if a person really think about it, he will be so afraid, so he will be scared in this life not to fall into the wrong way. One of these hadiths is Muhammad told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his Muslim slave, and he put him in front of him, nobody sees anything, and he starts to tell him about his bad deeds. When the Muslim feels that khalas, he is lost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, I have kept them secret for you in the life, and I am forgiving them for you now, go to Jannah. While the other one who is a kafir, he will be na'udhu billah punished in the judgment, in the judgment into hellfire. Also from the hadith and other ayahs and hadith, we know that there is a mizan, scale, to put good deeds and bad deeds. When the good deeds cost for mu'mins, for monotheists, when the good deeds are heavier, he will go to Jannah. When the bad deeds are heavier, Allah may forgive him, or he may go to hellfire for a certain time. Also there is a sirat, every person have to pass by. Although our scholars say that sirat is only for Muslims, not for kafirs. Kafirs will be taken to hellfire before sirat. Sirat is only for Muslims, and these Muslims passing sirat, some of them will go like this, like the lightning. Some Muslims will go like horses, quick horses. Some of them will go like a running person. Some of them will go walking. Some of them will go trying not to fall. Some of them will fall down. Those Muslims who fall down in hellfire, they will not be settled in hellfire, of course. They will be there sometimes to be punished for what they have done in their life. Then, inshallah, later on will be going to Jannah. But for kafirs and hypocrites, they will go to hellfire before sirat. They do not pass by sirat. Ends up about believing in the last day is to believe in Jannah and Nar. Paradise and hellfire are mentioned in the Holy Quran so much, and mentioned in the Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also so much. Every Muslim must believe in them. I don't think there is a Muslim who does not believe that there is a hellfire. But there are some questions in here. One question can say, are they available now? Hell and hellfire and paradise? Yes, they are there. They are available now. They are available, but we cannot go to them, of course, because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has made a certain day where we are judged, then sent to them. How do we know? By the hadith of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he was praying once and he was touching the graves of Jannah, and he said, although Allah Subhanahu wa Taala allowed me to take one grave of it, but I did not, because if I bring it, you will eat it all of your life. Also in his salah once he went a little bit back, stepped back a little bit, said that he saw hellfire and he saw and how people are in hellfire. Also there's a hadith to tell us that if you say subhanallah walhamdulillah wala ilaha illallah akbar, Allah will put you a tree in Jannah. Of course he is not going to be put unless there is Jannah over there already. So we believe that Jannah and hellfire are available now. طيب, are they going to be destroyed and finished, or are they staying forever? We know that they are staying forever. Jannah and Nar, forever. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khalidina fiha, abada. They live in Jannah or live in Nar, forever in there. So they are, both of them will be continuously there. طيب, last case to talk about will be the case of, or did you talk about the case of messengers?
No, we did.
We did, but I'm getting old now. طيب, last case is to talk about Qadr or Divine. We're not going to talk about it tonight. Why? Because Qadr actually needs a little bit details, and I know there's going to be a lot of questions. Because case of Qadr, although it's so simple and so easy, still it is hard. How is this? Simple and hard? It is. But inshallah it will be easy when we talk about it as it's supposed to be, taking the steps of it one by one, then we understand how easy to understand the case of Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds and make this sitting for him only and the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have any questions, we can talk about it.
Like, you know, signs of the day of judgment. Okay. What are the signs which have already come so far?
Well,
like, you know, I think
the
wall
coming of Muhammad is one sign.
Okay.
The fire which is have seen in Medina is another sign. Fire. There was a fire seen in Medina. Al-Hijaz. Fire so strong. And so many. But that does not make much case of us. Our qiyamah is our death. So each one of us has his own qiyamah. So we have to be ready for it. That's why one man came to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the qiyamah? Mata sa'ah? Sa'ah means the qiyamah. So Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not answer him directly. He said, he didn't say what will happen such and such, or after such and such times. He said, what did you do for it? So he answered the question with another question. The man was asking about when is the Qiyamah, and he said, what did you do for it? That's it. So what we are supposed to do actually is not to say, are we close to Qiyamah or not? Okay, I'm not
just... the coming of Yajuj and Majuj tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so any of those kind of things is still close
by? There are some of the Qiyamah signs are not yet. No. Some of them are already, but that does not make us so ambitious in this case. We are supposed to think about our Qiyamah. Our Qiyamah is to die. Our death is our Qiyamah. So we have to be ready for it. Are we ready for our Qiyamah? That's the case. I am sure 100% are most of Muslims now, if you ask them, are you ready for your death? They will say no. As one scholar of Islam, he was asking a person, he said, are you ready for death? He said no. So why don't you become ready? Why don't you stop and make repentance of your... He said, I cannot. You cannot make repentance, you cannot become good, and you cannot stop your death, and you are not ready for it. What are you going to do? Death will come. The smart guy, as Muhammad SAW told us in the hadith, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-mawt, wal-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah al-amani. The smartest person is the one who is ready for death. There was so many people, especially in Sahaba time and after them, they were ready for death. They are happy for this. When this comes, they are happy. Like Bilal ibn Rabah, when his death came, when he was dying, his wife started to cry, say, يعني, what a tragedy. Wa musibata. He said, no, don't say this. But say, it is a happiness. He's dying and he's happy. Why? Because tomorrow I will see Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers. He was happy to die because he will meet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will come to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, meet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba. Why? Because he knew what he has done. He's a Sahabi. He has done his best in Islam. Most of us cannot say this. Another Sahabi who was making jihad against the Kafirin, the Murtaddin, on here in Najd area, and he was hit by the strong stick, wrong stick, what is it called? Rumh. Spear. And his stomach, blood was out. So he took the blood and put it in his face and he said, I won. What did he want? He wanted to die? Yes, he won because he died for La ilaha illallah. For most Muslims now, they die saying, please, I don't want to die. Like Americans, they do, I don't want to die. They don't want to die, but they are dying, unfortunately, yes. They cannot. So if this is coming for sure, for young or for young people or for old people, for middle people, why don't you become ready for it? That's the smartest point. The smartest point is to think about the death. Be ready for it anytime. You didn't know, are we going to leave this place or not? Some of us may die. Some of us die tomorrow, after 1 week, after 1 year. You don't know. After 50 years, nobody knows. Yani, if you count the people who have friends of yours, all your friends or your family or your relatives are still alive, some of them have already died. Some of them 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, nobody. So some of them died. So you have to be ready. You don't know when are going to die. Yani, subhanAllah, this is a very big wisdom. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us when are we going to die. We are ready, we have to be ready for it whenever it comes. Maybe you will live 120 years. There were some people have lived more than that. And you may not live more than 5 minutes. And that could happen. Anytime, the angel of death may come to this place and take a soul of one of us. Could be. There was a person who was in Jum'ah khutbah. Imam was making khutbah Jum'ah. The guy was sitting like this and he died. Al-Khutbah. خلاص. Time is finished. Yani it is a certain time. Al-Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, once he gave us an example, rahmatullah alayh, he said, there was a guy driving a motorcycle. And he was driving in the street, in the intersection, there was a car. So both the car and the motorcycle guy stopped. Each one of them say, go. Oh, both of them stopped. Then they moved. The car over the guy and died. Sheikh said, rahmatullah alayh, see the guy, he stopped because there was some more breathing to come and to leave. Not finished yet. He has to take this breath before he died. Another story was told that a guy, he was working on high building, maybe painting, whatever, and he fell about 7 floors into the earth, into the street, but he fell into a sand, what? Heaps of sand. He was okay, no problem. So people said, come and mashallah, congratulations, you are safe, mashallah, 7 floors, wallahi, subhanallah. So he said, okay, on this occasion, I'll go get you some cold drinks. He crossed the street to bring some cold drinks. He was hit by a car and he died. There was some certain breath he takes still for him. He's not finished. So put in mind that this, we don't know when it's come. That's what we are supposed to work for. We don't know when we are going to die. Yes.
Shaitan.
Yeah. Shaitan himself, the first one, Iblis, is the head of them. But his generation of jinn are also شيطان. That's why jinn are two parts. وأن منا المسلمون ومنا القاسطون. So there are Muslim jinn and there are kafir jinn. They are devil jinn. Devil jinn are also these are shaitan. From whom these are a shaitan also. Not shaitan, no. They are a jinn. They are jinn. No. Because as we know that Iblis part of jinn, not jinn part of Iblis. You get the point? Iblis kana min al-jinn. Yani he was one of the jinn. That means that there were another jinn besides shaitan. Not only all the jinn are the children of shaitan. No. Iblis.
All the children of Iblis is shaitan?
I don't know. And I didn't need to know. Okay? We don't need to know. Yani, okay, do we need to know this? Asking questions like this, not supposed to be. There are human beings who are asking people to leave Islam or to leave good. Yani, you come with a person, even if he's a Muslim, and you hear Adhan, let's go for Salah, badi. He's becoming shaitan here. He's driving you not to make Salah with Jama'ah. Or the Kafir, he comes to say, you believe in this, you believe in Muhammad, but you have no mind, you cannot think, you are not in the 21st century, you are still in the 7th century now, and then he starts to give you, or these communists, or these atheists, or these so on, they are trying to convince people, say, there's no, why you Muslims are really going back to follow the Arabs who came to you from this Bedouins area, why you are smarter than them, and subhanallah. So these are human beings, shaitan. Huh? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah An-Nasr, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Jinn and nas, both of them are make waswas. So both of them are shaitan.
Actually touched by
jinn.
Is it sense? I heard that somewhere. Is it true? And if it is true, then how do you escape from it?
They do what?
Like suppose the person is touched by jinn.
Uh-huh.
So he gets some kind of
sense.
How
would it sense?
Heard that somewhere.
Okay, if a person gets touched by shaitan.
Jinn.
Okay, jinn shaitan, of course. Definitely. The only way to cure him is to recite Quran on him. This is the way. There are some people, they hit him, they do this, but the case is that reciting Holy Quran on him will make him up. Because shaitan or devils, they cannot live with Quran. Yani, maybe I gave an example a long time ago with that Filipino who came to Saudi Arabia to Riyadh as a magician. He accepted Islam later on. He said this story by himself. He said that Filipino accepted Islam later on. He made a radio meeting. And he gave his story. He said, when I came to Riyadh, first of all, he came as a magician. He said, I used to call the jinn, devil jinn, to my house to send them for some jobs or this. And he, of course, there's a deal between the magician and the devil jinn. He said, there was a TV. It was about 12 o'clock when the Saudi TV closed. So they closed with the recitation of Holy Quran. So while the jinn is there and the recitation there, they ran away. 3 days he was calling them, they never come. Then later on they came after 3 or 4 days with a yellow faces. So sick. He said, what happened to you? You just come here. I was calling you for 3 days. He said, you are there. What did you do? He said, what did I do? He said, why are you reciting the Quran? He said, what's Quran? He doesn't know the Quran. Then later on he started to think, how come this Quran affected these people this much? So he started to study Quran. What's Quran? What's Islam? Then he knew Islam and then he accepted Islam and he became Muslim. Subhanallah al-Azim. He was telling this story. So, devil jinns, when they touch human beings, the best way to treat them is to use Quran to kick them out. By reciting Quran on the body or the person. Yes.
Sheikh, is this allowed or is this haram?
I can't read this in this, but what I say is that if free insurance is not allowed except the cooperating insurance. We said this last It's enough to say that Saab is there. It's enough to say this. This is even takabur. Yani as long as buy this, sorry, British bank, kick it away. Oh yeah, you're fine. It's easy. You can buy a lot. You can buy a lot of fatwa. You don't worry. Plus, these sheikhs usually they make fatwa, but it's used different way. Yani, I'm not saying that these sheikhs are not good sheikhs. Some of them they make fatwa, but these people are using the fatwa, twisting the fatwa to serve their need. I have seen them twisted some fatwa for Sheikh bin Baz. But Sheikh Baz was so smart, he made another fatwa to tell them that these people are twisted my fatwa. It's not true. Ta'awuniyya. Ta'awuniyya what? Cooperating? Insurance. They are liars. They are liars. They are not, it's not a cooperation. They take money and they didn't give it back. Ta'awuniyya means we give the money by ourselves. خلاص, we all brothers say, okay, you know, why don't we make a like jam'iyya? Everyone will put, you know, some of his salary, 100 riyals, 200 riyals, 50 riyals, 10 riyals every month to help our each other. That's called ta'awun. Ta'awun means cooperating. But not the case of, okay, everyone must pay 100 riyals a month and the one who has a problem will give it to him. That's a must. It's not a case of ta'awun. Ta'awun means what? Cooperating. And volunteer. We give. We donate. Not we are forced. When there is a ta'awun and this money is used truly as it's supposed to be, not to take by these companies, then it is okay. But as we said, you know, all these people are trying to twist the fatwa of Sheikh. Any questions? Jazakumullah khair for listening and see you inshallah next week, hopefully.